You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Morena, e whakarongo ana koe ki te reo irirangi pōho. You're on 95BFM. This is The Breakfast Show. My name's Rachel. Welcome along. If you've just tuned in, we're going to listen to an interview that I did with Holly Herndon, wonderful composer who is originally from America but is based in Berlin, who is making the most interesting music out at the moment. Her album Proto came out on 4AD last year, and it looks at all sorts of massive questions, from the place of humans in the grander scheme of things to our relationship with technology and AI, and it's also just an incredible piece of music as well. And she brought her Proto show to Laneway, a last minute addition to the billing, which all of us at BFM were very excited to see. So we're going to have a listen to that conversation I had with her on the morning of Laneway Festival just this past Monday, and let's jump into that on the other side of this. Frontier by Holly Herndon. Holly Herndon, it is lovely to speak to you this morning. Are you excited about playing Laneway later today?
I am, yeah. We played our first kind of daytime show in Tasmania at Mofo, Dark Mofo, cool. like a week ago. And it's such a different feeling to play when it's light outside, but it was really fun. So yeah, I'm excited for our next kind of like daylight. And also it's a little bit later, so people will have had a drink,
totally.
Which is nice.
they'll be in the right mindset for the Proto show. Mm. I'm so interested to talk to you about Spawn, your AI baby.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell us a little bit about how this idea came about and how you kind of incorporated it into this project? Because I just think it's amazing.
Sure. So, let's see, where do I start? Spawn kind of started as a project between myself and Matt Dreihurst, my partner, and we were approached by this organization in Germany called Be Beethoven. So they were trying to, celebrate the death anniversary of Beethoven, the 250th, I think, death anniversary. So they were, kind of funding projects that I think the general idea is that Beethoven was kind of, experimenting in his day. So how are new artists kind of doing that instead of just kind of like restaging his works, which I think is a cool idea.
Totally, yeah.
So we came up with this idea, at the time, this was like 2016, 2015, a lot of white papers were being released. When I say white paper, it's like a lot of academic kind of research institutions or also actually private companies as well will release kind of documents with software and with explanations of how the software works. Yeah, it's kind of wild. And we're all kind of like, or a lot of artists are kind of downstream of that. So like when that stuff's released, we kind of like dig into it and we're like, okay, how can we do something interesting with this? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, why you saw like a big kind of interest spike in neural network. Cause this working with AI and music has been going, for decades, but whenever something new is kind of released to the ecosystem, everybody kind of like jumps on it and tries to make something interesting with it. So that's what we were interested in doing. So we teamed up with Jules Laplace, who's a developer from that we met in California, actually, but who also lives in Berlin. And so we started working on this project together, and that was kind of in parallel to starting the album. And I had put together a small vocal ensemble in Berlin, and those were kind of like two separate things for a while. And then as the work, as the research progressed with both of those kind of separate projects, they just kind of merged into one. And so now we're, we say AI baby, our AI baby Spawn, but it's kind of, we're really careful not to kind of like anthropomorphize the idea of AI. Actually, machine learning is probably even a better yeah. term than AI, because I feel like AI is, I feel like it kind of confuses people, or maybe like conjures up ideas of kind of like, these kind of like conscious robots who are kind of taking over and the universe.
I think maybe people come into the album from that angle first. They go, oh, there's this AI involved in this project, and it's got this kind of futurist sound, sort of futurist medieval kind of sound almost. But it seems to be that choral ensemble you worked with and their relationship with yourself and also the AI baby spawn, that seems to be the real heart of the project in many ways, this kind of community you have going on there.
Right, so that's the thing, is like artificial intelligence is like this really shiny word for kind of like aggregate human labor. Mm. So that's all it really is just like a bunch of kind of like human ideas and human concepts and labor kind of organized in an interesting way.
Yeah.
And so when we were looking at artificial intelligence, machine learning being like maybe the most contemporary mm-hmm. kind of human organizational technique, then we started thinking about what the earliest versions of that are.
Right.
And that's kind of choral music or singing. Yeah. And, you know, it was used back in the day for hunting and for, you know, spiritual practice and all kinds of different things. So we tried to create some sort of kind of like historical lineage between yeah. those two things. So, yeah, then we started teaching our AI baby how to sing.
I really like how you've incorporated that into the record as well. You get this kind of quite transparent part of the process. You have two tracks where you're basically live training the spawn, you know. How is it for you, I guess, switching between working with a group of humans to then approaching the more sort of technological AI aspects of it? How do you find blending those together? Is it sort of an easy mix for you, or do you find it kind of is a trickier thing to navigate?
I mean, I would say my practice for the last 10 years has been about having a kind of like physical and intimate relationship with my machines. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I think I feel comfortable in that arena. I think as soon as you start adding more personalities to the mix, it becomes more complicated.
As in everything in life.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, it's been interesting because there are some parallels between like Spawn's performance and human performance and some of the kind of like surprises that she would give back to me, and then how you can like take that surprise and build on it. And that's kind of part of the compositional practice. Mm. And then there are kind of dramatic differences where, you know, she's just like nowhere near as smart as a human performer, you know, and so it's like it's very frustrating and very iterative, and a lot of ways not real time. Like you have to leave something rendering forever and then wait, and then, you know, so it's a very slow process, whereas with a human you can just be like, oh, try it like this, or let's pitch it up an octave or whatever, and then people just like immediately respond. So yeah, it's been interesting.
I'm really fascinated in your interest in voice, because it also seems to be a really central part to this project and previous projects of yours too. And there is also, of course, this amazing history of women and trans artists working with voice and synthesis and, you know, computer programming and stuff since like the 70s. Do you see your work as part of that genealogy?
That's interesting. I feel like it's less my role to situate myself historically. Mm. I feel like maybe that's like...
That's probably fair.
It'd probably be better. I mean, I just don't think I would be as good at it as maybe like someone trained in musicology or something. But I would say I'm grateful to my foremothers, if that's the question. I'm like, all of the, you know, like your Joan LaBarbaras of the world, or, you know, Kathy Barbarian, or, you know, people who are willing to try something different with their voices and not be afraid of like looking weird or silly. And yeah, for sure. I owe something to that lineage for sure.
It is also, I guess what the link I was also thinking about listening to this record is it takes you beyond the body, but it also takes you beyond the person, and it does become so much more about this collective something about where you can't really hear sometimes where Spawn starts and your choir and yourself finish. You know, I found that really interesting because suddenly I wasn't really thinking about all of the individuals involved. I was thinking about this full sound and what that was taking me into. It is a very humanist album in the sense that you talk about some big questions of where humans are in the grander scheme of things. Do you feel like you worked through some of those ideas as you were working on this, or did you kind of know what you wanted to say from the outset?
No, I'm still working through some of that. I don't know if I would call it a humanist album.
Maybe
a post-human or exploration in inhumanism. I really like this term from Reza Nagaristani and Sadie Plant and some different philosophers are using right now. But yeah, for sure, it made me think about like the nature of intelligence, the nature of consciousness, you know, the difference between like cognition and consciousness and all these things that are in some ways gray areas and we don't fully understand yet. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's one thing that I love about this topic is I think a lot of people think that it's really dry, but actually it's really psychedelic.
Totally.
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
Here at the edge of the world, we are calling you to join us, Ancestor Plus. In the communion of open pores, existence is no longer enclosed in the body. We are not a collection of individuals, but a macroorganism living as an ecosystem. We are completely outside ourselves, and the world is completely inside us. Is this how it feels to become the mother of the next species? To love them more than we love ourselves? Like an extremophile?
People often approach anything where you're talking about the human-technology relationship or AI even just as its own thing with a bit of fear or in this kind of very negative way. What is your relationship to technology as kind of a process for exploring humanity, I guess?
Wow, that's a big question. I think when I was younger, it started out in a kind of more like wide-eyed, with a wide-eyed approach. Of course, with movement and then platform, I'm already starting to get pretty critical. But it's neither nor. It's like it's not like this binary kind of thing. It's it's part of us in a way. So it has all of the kind of like beauty and hideousness of humanity kind of like built into it, into its logic. So I don't know. I would say I try not to oversimplify narratives around it too much because I think that's where we kind of get stuck. And, this kind of like 80s idea of the kind of Skynet thing, you know, it's still prevalent. It's still going. It's still this aesthetic that's like everywhere. And I find it kind of obfuscates the actual scary parts of this technology, which there are many.
Yeah.
And if we're like worried about kind of like these like fembot like killer dolls or whatever, then we're kind of like not thinking.
Missing the point, maybe.
I think that that serves those who are just kind of already in power and kind of doing as they please if we're kind of distracted by these kind of 80s Hollywood narratives.
I would like to talk a little bit about the live show because I think this is an album that I have experienced so much on a personal level of just like headphones and really close listening. And I'm so excited to see how it's going to translate to a big stage as well. What can you tell us about it?
Well, you know, I think from like the beginnings of starting working on this album, I was really missing making music with people in real time, like sharing the stage with people. I mean, you know, Colin Self started touring with us at the end of the platform tour, and that was so fulfilling that I wanted to expand on that. I was also noticing a lot of electronic music festivals. It was mostly about like the light show or the visual. And so I was really missing kind of a performance with all that other stuff. Like I love I love like, you know, like super highly mediated performance spaces.
Totally.
I just am kind of asking where we as people fit in that. So that's kind of what this show is about. And in some ways, like you were talking about, the kind of lead vocal, you know, I think we're playing a little bit with who is kind of the protagonist.
Awesome.
At different times. And, you know, it's imperfect, but I would say it's very kind of like euphoric.
Was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.